right? And then we come to this part about submission. This idea of submitting, not my will, but to submit to God. And the book of James says, as you come into the presence, let's look at that verse in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, he mentions this whole idea about submission. He says this, that God, in verse 6, that God gives grace to the poor. Sorry, that God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's what we were talking about. And therefore, because of this, because God gives grace to the humble, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself. And when we think about this idea of submission, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that we're to submit to one another. In other words, I'm not pushing my will. It doesn't have to be my way. My way is probably better, but it doesn't have to be my way. As J. Vernon McGee used to say, if you want to be wrong, go ahead and do it your way. But it's the idea of submitting. It's the idea of saying, you know what? I want your way. And I don't have to have my way. Submission. And the blessed Lord Jesus is the perfect example of that, isn't he? Not my will, but thy will be done. How often do we say that? We jockey, we maneuver, we manipulate, we try to force our way into circumstances. Door closes, we find a window. And instead of saying, not my will, I want to submit to you. But what does it say here in this verse? It says, and Peter mentions the same basic thing. And the idea here is that therefore submit to God. Resist the devil. This is what we're talking about in this conflict. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and so forth. So this idea of submission. And then that when we are sanctified, when our lives are set apart for the Lord, when our hearts are sanctified, when the Lord is sanctified in our hearts, and then there's this submissive attitude, then we're going to find strength beyond all strength. We're going to be able, as we find with David, that David strengthened himself, and we saw that already. But when we find that David received the strength from God, we're going to find that God will strengthen us. And Paul tells Timothy to be strong. What? Be strong in the abilities that you have? No. To be strong in the grace of the Lord. To be strong in that unmerited favor that continues to be displayed upon you. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. That verse that's used there in John's Gospel chapter 1. Grace upon grace. I love that expression. An illustration is to stand by the ocean and just see one wave after another wave after another wave after another wave. That's grace upon grace upon grace. And it just keeps coming and it never ends. There's no end to his grace in our life. And listen, young people, it says, be strong in that grace. The grace of God. How I cherish that unmerited favor of God. God's riches at Christ's expense, as someone has said. But there it is all the time. That grace that's able to strengthen us and sustain us. And we find that he strengthens us from the word of God. And that's why I put those verses in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Tremendous verses that would remind us of how he wants to strengthen us by the word of God. And there's so much more that we could build upon. We could go to 1 Timothy and talk about that all scriptures breathed by God. It's God breathed. And that all scriptures there for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That the man of God might be thoroughly equipped. So he wants us to be strong. Strong in the grace of God. Strengthened by the word of God. As iron sharpens iron, so the continence of one to another, strengthened by the fellowship that we have with other believers. And so we need to be strengthened. But then we need to expect the fact that anyone who desires to live for God is going to suffer, it says in First Timothy. It reminds us there that if we decide to stand for the Lord, we will suffer persecution. That's what it says, to some degree or another. I remember one time I was preaching in St. Kitts. I was in the building, in the old, almost fallen down little chapel. And we were in this little building in the city, in Basseterre. And I remember preaching there, and I remember all of a sudden, as I'm preaching, all of a sudden a stone comes through the window and hits me in the back of the head. And then I remember, I didn't know what to do, so I just, you know, I'm kind of foolish, and I just kept preaching. And I remember another stone, this one was bigger, and it was harder, and it hurt. And then I reached back there and felt it, and there was blood. What do? I just kept preaching. I don't know any better. I just kept preaching. You're going to suffer persecution of some type if you're going to stand for Christ, if you're going to live for Christ, if you're going to be a Christian who's going up against the tide of this world. You are going to face opposition. The enemy is going to come out in that valley, and the enemy is going to challenge you. And what are you going to do? If you have not sanctified the Lord God in your heart, you will cave in to the enemy. You will be intimidated by the enemy. If the Lord has not been sanctified in your heart, if you're not submitted to His word and to His will and to His work, you will be intimidated by that enemy. And if you're not strengthened day by day by the grace of God, by the word of God, by the people of God, you will be intimidated by that enemy. And so how important then that we find that each of these things in their own order, each of these things are so important in our life before we ever enter into the battle. So before you walk out the door every day, because let me tell you something, when you leave your home, and sometimes when you get up out of bed, you enter the battlefield. Not so? You're in a war zone as soon as you walk out of that house. And so how good it is that these things take place before we leave. So preparations for the battle. And then to know this, that we'll be sustained. As David was sustained by the word of God, David was sustained by what God had done in the past, we can take confidence that God will sustain each and every one of us, that God will uphold us, that we can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And God will sustain you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. When there's no one else around, when you feel like you are the only one, don't be like Elijah and say, oh, woe is me, I'm the only one doing this thing. God says, you know what you don't know is I've got all these people over here. And I would have brought them to you and let them encourage you. But you were having a pity party. And now your work is done. How sad. How sad. He mentored Elijah and then we don't hear of him anymore. How sad. But you know, how wonderful that we be like Paul, who was there in the battlefield called the dungeon. And he's there chained. And I love the fact that he's there in that jail, right? And he's chained. Maybe he's got a guard on each side. And you think Paul's, oh, woe is me. No. What's Paul doing? You guys heard about Jesus? Let me tell you about it. And he's witnessing. And the jailkeeper ends up getting saved. And everybody that touches Paul ends up realizing and hearing about the gospel. Why? Because Paul was sanctified. Paul was submitted. Paul was a man who was strengthened by the word of God. Paul was not a man that was intimidated that he would be scorned. Paul was a man who experienced the substance, the sustaining grace of God in his life. And so these are the preparations, and we move on then to the principles for victory. And we think about conquering faith, and I want you to see this in David's life, the conquering faith. He examines and reaffirms proper motives.